Hey everybody, this is So Many Sequels. I'm Josh.
I'm Garrett.
And I'm David.
Welcome to the start, the introduction, the preview of a brand new month. It's going to be Oscars Madness March. Oscars March. That's what we decided. Anyway,
yeah,
we're going to talk about that later in the show, but had to give you a tease. We're talking about Oscars all month long. The Oscars take place March 10th. We're going to talk about some of the Best Picture nominees later and then what we're going to review all month long. But first, we got to start just catching up, as usual. You guys been watching anything non-Oscar-y? Have you been catching up on Best Picture nominees or anything? Or what have you been up to?
Well, you know, I was going through the list of Best Picture nominees, and I was like, there's only like one or two that I still feel like I want to see. I have a real high interest in... oh, God. Well, we'll get into it later, but I only have a real high interest in one or two.
Okay.
But one of the things that I watched recently was a Netflix original crime drama.
Oh.
Because they have really good ones. And it was called, like, Stalker something killer. I can't... There's
Stalker
like,
Lover Killer or something like that?
I saw
Stalker
this.
Stalker Lover
yeah.
Killers. Yes. Oh, my
I
God.
Saw that
watch
on
it.
There.
It is really good. Listen... At some point in time, these things are all pretty much the same, right? Like, you're going to expect some kind of crazy story that you never heard before. Going to go some twists and some turns. This one, I mean, listen, I jaw-dropped a couple of times at some of the twists because it was so crazy. I don't really want to say too much about it because I just want you to go in blind. But just know that it is an hour and a half, like, crime drama, and it is very, very crazy.
It's a movie, though. It's not a documentary.
No, it is a documentary.
Oh, it's a documentary.
It's like a real, it's like a true crime documentary. Yes.
But is it like a one shot or is it like a series?
Nope, just one through. So like last, or you can go back and listen to me and Josh talk about that one. It was a 3-part docuseries. Oh, look at that. I keep getting these little like bubbles. It's fun. but you can hear Josh and I talk about that. This one was not. It was not a 3-episode series. This is just an hour and a half documentary.
Okay. You watch anything recently?
It's not going to win any Oscars or anything, but it really fun watch.
Okay.
You know, I really, my wife and son went out of town for a birthday party on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so I was really excited to have a couple free hours to maybe watch some of the Best Picture nominees for this year that I hadn't seen yet. And so I was really excited because I heard that Past Lives was on Paramount. So I was like, oh, man, I can knock this out. I've heard nothing but good things about Past Lives. Well, it's on Paramount if you have the Showtime subscription. And I don't have that, and I wasn't really ready. I was interested in forking up for it today, this weekend. So instead, I watched 2017 Best Picture nominee Lady Bird.
Okay.
So
okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely... closer to completing my Greta Gerwig filmography. I only got to watch Little Women now. But nice. I can already say that there definitely seems to be a running theme with Greta Gerwig films. It was really...
You can't Greta go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Oh, boy. Put that on a t-shirt. We are... I got to say, it was a very fun... not fun. It was a very good film. It's a coming-of-age film. It's obviously the target... The target, you know, audience for it, I think, is not me. So there was a lot that I couldn't really connect to. But at the same time, the characters are very complex, and they were very, like, well-written. The story was pretty simple and easy to follow. So, I mean, it was a really good film. There was, like, because it was, like, A24, and there was kind of this air about it, I kept expecting something really awful to happen. But thankfully, it was just kind of like, I kind of would put it in the same category as like Booksmart. Like, this is a good movie, and I think people should check it out. Even though I'm not necessarily the person that it's in, you know, like, it's not necessarily for me. That's okay. That's what I did this weekend.
Well, okay.
And I showed Jack Pirates of the Caribbean. That's it.
Good. That's always a good one.
He was very interested in the Jack part.
I got to, I took my niece to her very first movie theater movie. It was Trolls Band Together.
Is that still in theaters?
It is on DVD and in theaters.
Wow.
Has she seen the first two? Did she follow the story pretty well? Like,
just making sure. For a 4 to 5 year old-ish area, yeah. I think so.
Okay, she knew all the characters.
Have you seen the first two, though?
No. I went into the third movie only knowing about Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake, and they are trolls. That's all I knew. Oh, and I knew that this one had NSYNC in it. That's all I knew.
Mm-hmm. Listen, anyway, the first Trolls is better than it should be.
Well, it's not that bad.
I'm sure in comparison to 2 and 3, but I haven't seen 2. I'm just assuming it's bad. I watched this documentary on Netflix called The Greatest Night in Pop. I don't know if you guys have seen that on there, but it is about the night that the We Are the World charity single was recorded, which is not something I ever really thought about or cared to think about. But I saw it on there and thought I'd give it a try. And it is really interesting because it's mostly archival footage from this night where, like, more than 50 of the biggest musicians in America, in the world, gather in a single studio, basically from 10 p.m. to, like, 8 a.m. the next morning, recording this song that was written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. They're all there. And there's no assistants, there's no entourage, there's no anyone. It is just the stars in this room all night with their egos, and it is really wild to kind of see them interact. That's kind of what the gist is. There's one part where, just to set the stage, Paul Simon's looking around, and he goes, "Wow, if a bomb goes off on this place, John Denver's going back to the top." Just burn John Denver for no reason in front of everybody.
Oh, brother.
There's weird things where, like,
rude.
Bob Dylan is there, and he is genuinely so nervous to do anything that he has to be coached by Stevie Wonder to do his part. It's a really wild experience. I highly recommend
Is that what put you on your is that what put you on your rabbit hole of finding out about the Disney World halftime in 1995?
Yeah, because that led me to watch Michael Jackson's halftime show, which is the halftime show where basically they were like, "Oh, we should make it cool now." But the next year was like a Disney produced Indiana Jones musical adventure that was not as well received, but I didn't even know that existed. Anyway.
No.
And that's why they really decided we need to make these cool. That Michael Jackson one was way better.
Right. So if you're into music history at all or pop culture, check out that Greatest Night in Pop on Netflix. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the theme of the month, the Oscars. Yeah, this month we're talking Oscars all month long. The Oscars are coming up here on March 10th, like I said a bit ago. Thought we'd take a couple minutes just to kind of recap the nominees for Best Picture this year. Later in the month, we will talk more in depth about the overall show, but Best Picture is what everybody cares about. So there's a lot of popular choices in this category, and there's a couple surprises, a lot of good stuff. This year, we've got The Holdovers, American Fiction, The Zone of Interest, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, Maestro, and Killers of the Flower Moon. Mm-hmm. Are either of you willing to be like, "Wow, I want that to win" of that list? Yet, have you thought about it? Not even what do you think? Like, what do you want? What would you vote for?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I've only seen
Of the ones that I've
of
seen.
Of what you've seen, that's fair. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I would say that, it's hard for me this year because it seems inevitable that Oppenheimer's just going to win everything. And that, to me, takes a lot of the fun out of it. If one movie is nominated for so many things and, like, genuinely expected to dominate every single thing, I'm not very interested. Like, it takes a lot of the fun out of it. And I hope, of the things that I think could happen, I think the most likely scenario is out of nowhere, Poor Things comes out and pulls a surprise win. Mm. I think that could be something that could happen. But outside of that, I think it's going to be Oppenheimer, and it's hard for me to even kind of root for anything else just because I just don't even see a point at this point in time.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I do think there's been a lot of I don't know how well it's on the award circuit, but there's been a lot of positive buzz around the holdovers, so I think that Poor also Things sure. have maybe the best of the sleeper choices. I mean, I've been hearing great things about Anatomy of a Fall for like a year now, so maybe that's an outlier too. Again, we talked a little bit earlier, I've heard nothing but good things about Past Lives. Maybe that has a better shot in like the screenplay categories, I don't know. And you know, I would love to see something like an American Fiction win. Basically, if anything other than Maestro wins, I'll be okay with it. It's not even that was necessarily like a horrible movie. It's just like, to me, it's the weakest one on the list. But yeah, I kind of feel like, you know, Oppenheimer's the front runner, but there's been a lot of years where we've had a clear front runner, and then they just go the other way with the pick at the end. So, you know, you can never really tell with the Academy. I am kind of surprised that with the amount of attention some other movies got this year, that about some of the ones that were left off. But I think, generally speaking, most of these movies deserve to be here.
Yeah, I'd say so too. I can't disagree. I do think it will probably be Oppenheimer that wins. And it's not even one of the undeserving ones, as if there's many that would be. I still have yet to see Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, and Maestro. And I will not be seeing Maestro just by choice. It looks very dumb and uninteresting to me. that's all I can say about it.
I'll just say this. The holdovers to me has Coda vibes. Like, that's just all I'm going to put out there, is that everybody was saying it's going to be Power of the Dog the year Coda won, and then Coda won. So I could see something like that being like, you know, a surprise. So I'm just going to put, I'm not picking it necessarily to win, but I'm just putting that as my dark horse.
Okay.
Yeah, the only ones that I have left to see are, or that I actually care about seeing, are American Fiction. You could talk me into Anatomy of a Fall if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
And Past Lives.
I've heard it's
really
good.
I don't really care about the other ones that I haven't seen, but I do want to see Past Lives, and I do really want to see American Fiction.
Yeah, yes. I want to see Past Lives. There's been the film community on Threads has been really positive about that one for a long time now. Good. So I was really excited to see it this weekend, but didn't get a chance to. But also, I've heard a lot of interesting things about The Zone of Interest. Like, everybody just talks about how, you know, freaking driving and bleak it is, but at the same time, like, it's just one of the, it's kind of, they describe it a lot of like the way that Christopher Nolan describes Oppenheimer. It's a visual experience, you know. And then Killers of the Flower Moon, we haven't really talked about on here, but yeah, I mean, that's one that I'd also be, you know, like, if it won, I'd be like, well, okay, great. But I wouldn't necessarily jump for joy or anything.
So anyway, I think I agree that it's going to be Oppenheimer probably, but we'll see. There's still time. The BAFTAs were as of this recording, but I don't know anything that won. So, but that's a pretty big, another big award show that can indicate direction of things. So, it's a fun time of year, though.
It was a pretty big sweep for Oppenheimer.
Was it? Yeah. Well, there's no surprise. Continued as expected. So. We will look forward to that later in the month. What's going to win Best Picture? But we've also covered some other Best Picture winners in the past here on this show. Not very many, I might add, but a few. And I think part of this month is that we want to try to do more. You know, to try to expand our palette of Oscar winners. Of the ones we've seen, they're pretty recent, at least. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Oscars, they are almost at the 100th Oscar ceremony, so there's a lot there. But we've talked about in the past Coda, which was at least a favorite of mine and Garrett's. I don't remember what you thought, David.
Oh, it was good. I didn't think it should have won Best Picture, but it was good.
Then there was Nomadland.
Tick, Tick, Boom is what I would have gone with.
It's rated. You made it rain on me.
You gotta stop. You made it rain. You gotta stop doing things.
You made it rain on his parade, David.
I would have given it to Tick, Tick, Boom.
We covered Nomadland, which was Chloe Zhao's movie, starring Frances McDormand. That was a very... That was kind of a different movie, I felt like.
Yeah, that was the pandemic Oscars.
Right. Parasite was a big deal. Foreign film, Korean film, winning Best Picture. Bong Joon-ho, Reign Supreme.
Yep.
If you want to listen to us talk about Parasite a lot... Great moment in Oscars history.
If you want to hear us talk about Parasite a lot, just look up our Oscars 2020 recap episode.
Yeah, yeah. Love Parasite. Definitely a great pick. Then there was the most our most recent Oscar winner was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Another big favorite of ours. That was a big year. We got Ki-Hoi Kwan winning his Oscar. We got Brendan Fraser, not for this movie, but
different movie, also won an Oscar.
Then we had a few others that we did kind of outside the realm of Oscars, but they were still Best Picture winners. Silence of the Lambs, back in the 90s. Titanic, also in the 90s. And then Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. One of the rare sequels to win Best Picture.
Yep. Otherwise, we've reviewed about 16 films that have been nominated for Best Picture, but these seven are the ones that have taken the final award home. Lord of the Rings we did as a series for the full Lord of the Rings. The same with Silence of the Lambs. And then Titanic, Josh, you and I just did that one last year for the, what was it, 30th? No, 25th anniversary, whatever anniversary it was. We did that just last year.
I think if there's one thing you can say about this collection, this small collection of movies, is that there's like nothing in common.
No.
No, there's so if you're ever looking for a rhyme or reason for the Best Picture winner, there's not really, at the end of the day, a solid thread that ties them together. So it is always important to remember that. While the voting membership of the Academy decided these were the best pictures that year, it's still subjective.
Very.
Very. Very. A lot of Best Picture winners aren't even remembered
if you go to,
down the line.
If you go to our yearly Best Ofs, many of them are not Oscar Best Picture winners. So there you go. So consider that.
No. Yeah. No. But this year, we're going to expand. We're going to branch out, and we have each picked a Best Picture winner, I believe, from any point in history. That's really the only rule we gave ourselves was Best Picture winner. Like I said, we each picked one that we're going to review throughout the month. I'm just going to go in the order that we have written here in our notes. Garrett, what Best Picture winner did you choose? And why?
You know, again, going back to one of the things that you had mentioned, Josh, is that we always have been criticized for our lack of older movies. You know, our catalog is pretty recent in the realm of movie ness. And so I'm going to take us back, and to my knowledge, this is going to be one of the older ones that we've ever reviewed, to 1967, the 40th Oscars, where In the Heat of the Night, by directed by Walter Mirisch, I don't know if I said that right, I probably didn't, stole the show, if you will, and took away the prized Oscar that year. I decided to do this one because, A, we needed some older movies, and B, I remember growing up, I watched Matlock a lot, and following Matlock would be the TV version of In the Heat of the Night, starring Carol O'Connor, post Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
And so earlier this year, for So Many Sweethearts, we watched Return to Me, which has Carol O'Connor in it, and it kind of got me thinking about that, and then I remember specifically a memory saying... learning that there was a movie and being like, Carol O'Connor's not in it? I don't want to watch it. And didn't understand which came first, the chicken or the egg situation. In this case, it was the movie version. And so now I'm very excited to revisit it. Sidney Poitier, one of the greatest actors of all time, is in this movie. And he didn't even win the Oscar. There was one of the actors in here did win Best Actor, but it was not Sidney. So I'm excited. I've never seen it. It'd be first time for me, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Okay, yeah.
I
am too.
Yeah.
I also have not seen this movie, so it will be new to me. And I'm excited to add it to the list.
Me too. You know, hey, we've talked about it many times before, like you said, not a lot of older movies. So this is going to be exciting to go back and watch one that's considered a classic by many. And can't wait to try it. Can't wait to give it a shot. The 40th Academy Awards, huh?
That's crazy. 40. I don't even know what to expect. So it should be good. Should be a good time. David, what have you picked for us?
So similarly, I'm going back in time. The film I've chosen is 1973's The Sting, starring Robert Redford, Paul Newman, Robert Shaw, directed by George Roy Hill, written by David S. Ward. This was the Best Picture winner for the 46th Academy Awards, again in 1973. It also won Best Original Screenplay and Best Film Editing. So, it's a film that is considered by many to be a great sort of crime thriller, but it's also, it's so funny how the way Hollywood works. So even in the 70s, there was a bit of nostalgia for, you know, the 30s and 40s, because the film itself is presented kind of like how a film in the 30s would have presented, with like these title cards that come up during the film, is what I've read. So it's a very, it's a film itself that is a kind of a callback to a different time. Roger Ebert said that the film was one of the most stylish movies of the year. Gene Siskel said it was a movie that has a lot of love and care. So there you go. I was excited about this because it is the same director and acting team, obviously, for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which I watched just last year. George Roy Hill directed Paul Newman and Robert Redford in that film. I really enjoyed that film when I watched it this last year, so I was excited to watch their follow-up. More or less, I think they all did films in between those two movies, but this was their reunion. So it's described as a 1936 era caper film. So I've not watched many capers, so I thought we could do that. What do you guys think?
You ever seen that, David or Garrett?
I feel like I have. But if I have, it's been so long that I don't remember it, so it will basically be the first time. Probably the first time. I remember growing up, you know, I used to watch a lot of noir kind of detective-y movies, and so I don't remember if it was this one or if it was like, oh, goodness, what's the Dog Day Afternoon? I think maybe I'm thinking of that one. Definitely have seen that one. So, no, but I'm looking forward to it. Great actors. I think it's going to be a good addition. You know, going back to mine, it is also kind of a crime thriller taking place in the Deep South, but it's a detective kind of a style noir. And that one's on Amazon if you want to stream.
Yes.
It. So
I wanted to mention mine is on Netflix. So,
oh, that's good. That is good to know. I think mine.
What about you, Josh? You ever seen The Sting?
I have not seen The Sting either, so this is two for two so far on a brand new to me movies, which is
going
to
be
always great.
New movie month,
new movie March, as well as Oscar Madness March.
But I haven't seen it; it's new to me.
Yeah, hey, if it fits, it fits. So, I haven't seen a lot of capers either outside of those committed by Muppets. So this should be pretty good. Should be fun. I had the pleasure of knowing your guys' picks ahead of time because you were faster at picking than me. So I wanted to do a little counter-programming because you guys were both kind of circling some crimey movies. I was like, okay, I don't want to do another crime movie. I don't want to do anything too dramatic or anything like that, but I still want to do something different. So I also went back in time, not quite as far back. But I've gone to 1984 to Amadeus.
I literally just scrolled through and guessed which one you were going to pick, and I went, and that's where I landed, man. And as soon as you said 1984, I was like, oh, shit.
Good. Amazing, sorry, then. Premonition, as it were.
Amadeus.
I decided to go back to Amadeus, which came out, like I said, in 1984. This was a big Oscar movie. I mean, it won 8 Academy Awards, We're talking Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Screenplay Adapted, Best Art Direction, Best Costume, Best Makeup, and Best Sound. Amadeus. This is the story of Amadeus Mozart told through his big rival, Salieri. I remember watching this movie for the first time in sixth grade music class. In probably 30-minute chunks for 5 days during fifth or sixth hour.
Best way to watch a movie.
It truly, if you didn't watch a movie in those in several-day chunks at school, what were you doing? So that is also the last time I can recall watching it. So I want to revisit it in one piece, hopefully. We'll see. and also just kind of revisit this movie as an adult, because I do remember liking it, but I can't imagine I understood anything beyond the fart joke. So yeah. It should be good. Have you guys seen Amadeus?
David? Oh, no, I have not seen Amadeus. I don't think that I had the pleasure of seeing such an award-winning movie in my fifth grade music class. I went to the less equipped school where I think it was probably like, you know how you had the like the reenactments? I think it was that. I think I had some kind of movie about that. But and that one may have been about Beethoven, too. So, you know, I can't guarantee. So, no, I have not seen this. I do appreciate, though, the counter-programming, which is why I feel like I was excited about this pick, because I saw that and I was like, this is very different than what David and I are choosing. So, and really, I think it's different than a lot of Oscar winning movies in the past. You know, again, I don't know much about it, but I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm really glad you picked something like this too, Josh. I have not seen all of Amadeus. I have seen bits and pieces over the years. It's an often cited film. You know, I remember them talking about it on I Love the 80s. I think somebody somewhere has at one point chopped it all up on TikTok and put it on in like, you know, 28 in installments pieces. On TikTok. Yeah. And so I've watched a couple of individualized scenes that just have happened to pop up in the last year. So I'm looking forward to it. It is going to be a different thing. I guess, Garrett, if I had realized last week when you said in the heat of the night, I might not have picked another crime-ish film. But anyway,
I think they're different enough.
I think we're going to have a good time, though. They're going to be stylistically different enough that we'll have some good fun with this. And Amadeus is, it's got everything except the song Amadeus.
Yeah, it does not have.
I don't think Amadeus. So, right?
I don't know when that came out. No, Rock Me Amadeus came out the next year, actually, so no.
Mm, no doubt.
But what great timing. Maybe it was inspired by.
Oh, it
surely was.
The song
was inspired by the movie Amadeus. Yes, okay.
Rock Me Amadeus.
Thank you, Wikipedia, for that. Yeah, well, good. I'm excited. I think we have a great month here lined up, then. We've got pretty much new picks for most everybody. Everybody at least gets one thing they haven't seen before. And we got a great range. I'm just like, whoa! This is a very interesting month for us. I think it should be.
And
fun.
When will we ever have an opportunity to watch these movies again? Right. You know, for the podcast, right? So let's knock them out here.
Okay. Well, recap: In the Heat of the Night, The Sting, and Amadeus. Those are our movies for the month. All right, so those are our picks. Next week, we're going to kick things off with Garrett's pick of In the Heat of the Night. Remind me where you said people can watch that if they want to, or did you?
That one on Amazon.
So go check that out there. Or, of course, I'm sure you can rent it or purchase it from wherever movies are sold. So we'll kick off, though, with In the Heat of the Night. Then we'll go to Amadeus and then The Sting. So go check out those movies this month if you want to watch along with us. Be sure to subscribe to the show on our YouTube channel so you can also watch the show. That's, I think, the most fun way to enjoy So Many Sequels. You can do that just by searching So Many Sequels in your YouTube app and subscribe there. Be sure to share it with your friends. And if you do listen to the podcast version, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are getting your podcast from. You can follow us online.
Smash the like button.
Like and subscribe.
It doesn't do it when I want it to.
That's the thing.
It doesn't do it when I want it. Now I just look like an insane person.
It will never do it when
you... There's supposed to be a graphic.
Use your other hand. There you go.
See?
Hey, there it is. There it goes. Okay. follow us online.
That button right there.
For more of that shenanigans. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook. And you can find links to all of our past episodes at somanysequels.com. We've also got links to our social channels there. So go check out all that stuff. Okay, I think that's everything.